7.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Top Mom Casey Anthony on trial for the murder of her 2-year-old little girl, Kaylee.
Top Mom now going after her brother and father relentlessly. For 31 days, she didn't report her daughter missing.
Today, a complete shift in Top Mom's appearance and demeanor in court, laughing, smiling, joking.
You're not going to get a fair verdict every single time you go to a jury. That is the reality.
A little girl was murdered. She was thrown into the side of the road like trash and left to rot. Somewhere out there, the devil is dancing tonight.
There's a brief history of the Casey Anthony trial through the eyes of the disgraceful Nancy Grace. And that's how we get started in this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show, a review of the hot hits. Casey Anthony verdict certainly is right on top of the list. Let's go to Fox, where Bill O'Reilly wanted the jury to explain how they could possibly find this woman not guilty of murdering her 2-year-old daughter.
The vile Casey Anthony found not guilty of murdering her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee. I say Miss Anthony is vile because for 30 days she did not report her baby missing. 30 days. In that time, the sociopathic Anthony partied hard, got a tattoo, and generally ignored the plight of her missing 2-year-old, who was later found dead in a swamp. Those are facts beyond a reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt in the murder? Maybe. I will not condemn the jury in the matter. That would be unfair. Let's hear from them before we make any judgments. Problem is, the jury doesn't want to explain their verdict to us.
At this time, there are no jurors interested in speaking to any members of the media. They do, however, have your packets, and they've asked for their privacy, and they will contact you if they are interested in speaking to you.
Well, perhaps some jury members are too exhausted to explain at this point. Perhaps some of them are looking for money to talk. They did convict Casey Anthony, a narcissistic woman, of lying to investigators who were trying to find her baby. So why would Miss Anthony lie? Another compelling question for the jury. Talking Points believes that little Kaylee Anthony has been victimized again. Perhaps that could not have been helped. But Kaylee was an American entitled to protection. Her mother obviously did not provide that, and now the justice system has failed as well, because we still don't know what happened to the little girl. The villain in the case remains Casey Anthony. She knows what happened. And after the verdict was announced, she smiled, giggled, and generally behaved inappropriately in the courtroom. Again, putting herself above the central theme, the brutal death of her child. Here is some reaction this afternoon.
Casey did not murder Kaylee. It's that simple. And today, our system of justice has not dishonored her memory by a false conviction.
This is a dry bones case. Very, very difficult to prove. The delay in recovering little Kaylee's remains worked to our considerable disadvantage. Our mountain of evidence did not eliminate, in the jury's view, every reasonable doubt.
So let's get down to it. The prosecution presented solid evidence that chloroform residue was found in Casey Anthony's car. Also, a hair recovered from that car was similar to those found at Kaylee's death site. Casey Anthony never called 911 about her daughter. She lied about a babysitter stealing Kaylee. She lied to her mother about Kaylee's whereabouts, saying she was at Disney World, among other places. And she lied about a bunch of other things, like visiting a rich boyfriend with Kaylee. No such boyfriend exists. Again, why would any parent of a missing child lie to investigators trying to find that child? On the defense side, the autopsy couldn't conclude the cause of death, and doubts were raised about the forensic evidence. What the case really comes down to is this: reasonable doubt. There was no smoking gun, no eyewitness. What is certain is that the adult in direct charge of a 2-year-old cannot explain what happened to her, did not even try to find out what happened. and misled those trying to do so.
Up next, more reaction to the Anthony not guilty verdict on the countdown.
The Sears Automotive Center knows that when you get your car back from the shop, you don't want to feel like you've been taken for a ride. That's why the Sears Blue Automotive Crew offers Price Match Plus to get you the best price guaranteed. Come into Sears Auto Center July 8th and 9th and get a $19.99 oil change. No coupon necessary, no shop fees. And earn $20 in Shop Your Way rewards points to use on your next oil change. Plus, find hot buys on Cooper Response Touring Tires. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Every day, businesses lose critical customer and financial data as a result of cybercrimes, human errors, and natural disasters. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Barracuda Backup Service combines local backup and deduplication for rapid restores with data storage in the cloud for fail-safe disaster recovery. Protect your critical data. Visit Barracuda.com/backup to try Barracuda Backup Service free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/backup.
If you need to raise funds for your charity organization, Macy's Shop for a Cause is the perfect opportunity. Qualifying groups receive special tickets to sell for $5 each, and you keep 100% of the ticket proceeds, so sell as many as you can. On Saturday, August 27th, ticket buyers receive exclusive savings in every Macy's store nationwide and on Macy's.com. To see if your group qualifies and to sign up, go to Macy's.com/shopforacause.
Julia Rubenstein tests bullfrog sunblock at the lake all summer long.
My husband jokes that I should be the poster child for sunscreen. I am blonde, blue-eyed, and extremely fair-skinned. I use Bullfrog Marathon Mist. It's just been a wonderful product. It dries within seconds. It's also sweat-proof and waterproof. I truly believe Bullfrog is better. I even have my dermatologist recommending it now.
Bullfrog Sunblock, the toughest waterproof protection under the sun, based on testing standards used as directed.
We use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Can you find anything on the internet? Well, I'm sure you can, but don't take my word for it. Just ask this talking dog who can only say, I love you. Roll the clip. One more time, talking dog.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown Show, focusing on the verdict in the Casey Anthony murder trial. From CNN, John King here, relating to Dr. Drew Pinsky about this very strange family dynamic, particularly the way her parents reacted when the verdict was announced.
She wakes up thinking, I could face lethal injection. Tonight, she's thinking, I'm going to be free probably in 48 hours.
It's hard to imagine what it must be like to go through that. And one of the stranger aspects of that very phenomenon was how her parents reacted. Now, remember, this courtroom was very tightly controlled, and people were not allowed to show any emotion or they were cast out of the courtroom. But her parents sat there stone-faced and then slid out of the courtroom immediately after the verdict. That was sort of surprising because they, too, presumably, were going through that same sort of emotional roller coaster where their daughter's life hung in the balance.
Their daughter's life hung in the balance, and they issued a statement after, because obviously her defense changed dramatically. She said she had been abused by her father. She said, oh, actually, no, the baby wasn't missing. The baby drowned in the pool, and my father and I disposed of the body. The family issued a statement saying, despite the baseless defense chosen by Casey Anthony, the family believes that the jury made a fair decision based on the evidence presented, the testimony presented, the scientific information presented, and the family then saying they want privacy. What happens to them going forward?
Well, this is a family that's been completely shattered, and it's hard to imagine that's a family that's going to hang together after what Casey has done to them. The vortex she has created, all of this chaos, this entire case is about her. But that's a very interesting statement you just read there. They don't declare her innocence, and that's really been their position all along, that they've sort of tipped a little bit their cards in terms of suggesting that they really don't think their daughter's fully innocent. They don't think that she intentionally did something, but her innocence was not something that they've ever proclaimed. seen them recently at least proclaim. And I think we all understand that. I think everyone understands it, that we want to know what happened here, and the justice has not been completely served, and we're all sort of surprised.
And you say we want to know what happened here. Boy, all of us would love to hear from the jury. What swayed them in the end, and how did they reach this verdict so quickly? What's your sense of that in analyzing them? Sequestered since May, they hear this bizarre change in the defense strategy. They don't get a smoking gun. Even the prosecution concedes we don't have a smoking gun. What's it like to be on this jury?
It's got to be very difficult. And there were several members of this jury, as I've actually studied who the profile of the people that were on this jury, that really felt they were not in a position to judge somebody, and particularly could not put somebody to death for a crime. They just outright felt that way. So already you had a jury that was disposed to having difficulty finding a guilty verdict. But you know, think about how difficult it is to sit there and hear all this material and say that I have no reasonable doubt. I have reasonable doubt. I've been listening to all of this. So I could just imagine a jury sitting there listening to this might think, yes, I think she was involved, but I'm not murder one.
And how does that play out in the mind? The jury sitting there watching her throughout this trial, they're just feet away. She does not testify, but she shows very different emotions throughout the course of the trial. Do you become sympathetic?
Absolutely, you could. As Jane Les Mitchell said, it almost becomes like a Stockholm syndrome where you develop a relationship at a distance with the person who is accused of the crime. And the fact is, the way the courtroom is set up, she was really facing them a lot of the day. Now, mind you, what we all observed was she behaved very differently when the jury was in the room than we saw her behaving when the jury was not around. A lot of people made note of that. But the fact still remains that the jury was there face to face with her for quite some time and may have developed some sympathy for her.
Talk host Greg Jarrett here with ABC's Aaron Katursky, and the outpouring of anger that erupted over this not guilty verdict is what they talk about.
The vitriol that has been expressed online and on television and on the radio has been pretty amazing. And it hasn't been so much anger with the jury that said Casey Anthony is not guilty in the murder of her daughter, but against people who are expressing opinions.
There was a fair amount of anger directed at the press and the public and the pundits who had, in the words of the defense attorneys, committed bias and made a serious rush to judgment in the face of what they consider the facts of the case to be. And the defense attorneys really took those groups to task, even though most everyone else who was outside the courthouse expressed their disbelief and their shock at the verdict that was reached.
And that verdict, I suppose, not guilty of the murder, not guilty of manslaughter, and not guilty of aggravated child abuse, but the counts that she was guilty on, could you tell us about those?
These are misdemeanors, Greg, and these are all about lying to investigators, and that's about as far as the jury believed prosecutors were able to prove. And on these counts, Casey Anthony faces a maximum of 4 years in prison. She's already been in jail nearly 3 years, so with time served, it's very possible that by tomorrow, Casey Anthony could be free.
And we've heard that they may still appeal those charges, those misdemeanors on which she was convicted.
I hadn't heard about any planned appeals on the lying. It did seem clear from some of the evidence presented in court that Casey Anthony did in fact lie and was caught on tape in those lies. So I hadn't heard that that there may be an appeal. But nevertheless, the defense believes and is satisfied by the idea that they saved her life because she does now escape the death penalty and any serious jail time.
Is there any search now? Is there anybody looking for who the real killer might be since she's been acquitted?
No, there isn't. And in fact, if you believe the defense, there was no killer. There was only an accident in the family pool that was covered up to look like there was a killer by her grandfather, something the prosecutors called absurd. Why do you cover up an innocent accident and make it look like murder? The defense never proved its case, never substantiated why it believes she drowned in the pool. But then again, the defense didn't have to. The burden of proof is on prosecutors. And an alternate juror that we spoke to said, Greg, he did not find that the prosecutors proved the case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Up next, more on the Casey Anthony trial as it relates to talk radio and talk television here on The Countdown.
You've heard great things about Berkey. You've been thinking of getting a Berkey water purification system, but for some reason, you haven't made your purchase just yet. Okay, here's one more reason to buy the best water purification system you can buy now. The Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com is giving away free Pelican flashlights. Yes, with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system from the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com, you'll receive a free Pelican 2360 LED flashlight, a $39 value. But it won't last long, only now through July 15th. Hurry, call 877-886-3653, 877-886-3653, or shop online at GoBerkey.com. That's Go, BERKEY.com. No coupon code necessary. A free Pelican flashlight is yours with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system only at GoBerkey.com or by calling 877-886-3653. Hurry, offer ends July 15th.
Where can you find a super strength potassium iodide supplement? Right here at thyroidki.com. With global radiation levels at record highs, is your thyroid safe from radioactive iodine poisoning? Potassium iodide, the key ingredient in Thyroid KI, is proven to block radioactive iodine from damaging your thyroid. Thyroid damage is permanent and can lead to thyroid cancer. Unlike other potassium iodide products, Thyroid KI is formulated in convenient 32.5 milligram tablets and is independently tested for purity with a 100% money-back guarantee. With limited stock selling fast, act now. Prepare yourself and protect your family. Use coupon code THYROID for a 10% discount. Visit ThyroidKI.com. That's Thyroid, the letter K, the letter I.com. ThyroidKI.com or call 855-599-9444. 855-599-9444. Again, that's 855-599-9444.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Talk radio, talk TV, the hot hits, political talk. This isn't really political. This is an issue that goes deep to the core of most Americans. Casey Anthony, not guilty. Talk host Tommy Tucker here with Dr. David Kaye, a forensic scientist, and they are interested in what has now been referred to as the CSI effect.
Let's talk about forensic evidence as it relates to the standard in courtrooms today and CSI shows and those kind of things. Has it kind of raised the bar to a level that is not realistic for prosecutors in jurisdictions all over America or not?
Well, currently the evidence on that is still mixed, and I think the leading research done on that, it's a piece of research out of Michigan coming from a judge, Donald Shelton. Basically, he's had the access, since he's a judge up there, to question his jurors, to really get in their minds when they're put in the situation of a real-life trial situation. Obviously, a lot of research that's out there is asking undergraduates about their options if they have, say, a scenario to reply to, and given this scenario, would you vote to convict or acquit? What Judge Shelton offers is he looks into jurors' opinions on the system, and if you're presented with this kind of evidence in these certain circumstances, what would you do? And what basically what he's found is that people exposed to CSI and these kinds of shows might be actually better equipped to be more skeptical in certain circumstances or expect certain kinds of scientific evidence in particular trials. Say, for example, a murder trial, they expect to see more DNA evidence, and rape trials, they expect to see more DNA evidence in that circumstance than people that do not watch these television shows. They might even be better off. But overall, what he's found was that there might be an overarching tech effect. Since we live in a high-tech world and we expect answers, like if, for example, if you have a question of, you know, who was in that movie that you can barely remember the name of, you just grab your, you know, your iPhone, your Android phone, you search it immediately and you get instant answers. We're basically attuned to that tech effect of knowing information quickly, and we expect these things from our criminal justice system. And where forensic science comes into place is that these folks are the experts of technology, so they're basically in the forefront of this new cultural movement, so to speak.
Talko's Al Roney with a caller who thinks that even though most of us believe Casey's guilty, the jury
Did the right thing.
Don and Troy. Hi, Don. Thanks for your patience.
Remember, if the glove doesn't fit, we must have quit. What do you think about O.J.? Do you think he was guilty?
O.J. Yeah, of course I do.
And she is, too. But I agree with the judicial system. I think the jurors took... There was reasonable doubt. I think this woman, if you had her at the Salem witch trial, she would certainly be burned at the stake. But because of our system, she got off. And she got off basically like O.J. Washed his glove, his size 12 glove, and became a size 6. And he was not guilty.
I think there were different factors, though. I don't think they're comparable in the sense that I think with O.J., there was a massive amount of evidence there, but there was something that took place that had more to do with sociology and psychology of the jury itself as opposed to the actual evidence, where if they were granted a way out, a way to find him not guilty, they did that. They took that and ran with it. In this case, I don't think we're going to be hearing from the jurors saying that that there was any of that going out, where they're not going to come away and say, well, but I could be wrong. I mean, listen, everybody's been wrong about this thing, you know. So preface by saying that. But I think they're going to say, we thought she had something to do with the death of Kaylee, but the prosecution just didn't give it to us. We didn't have enough hard evidence to make that call. So what we think in our gut or what we feel isn't enough to find someone guilty of murder.
Shifting gears in a few minutes, the battle over the budget. To Washington we go, up next on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Spend less and get more during the Buy One, Get One Free sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now you'll find great Buy One, Get One Free offers on parts and accessories to keep your vehicle running right. And with O'Reilly's everyday low prices, when you buy one and get one free, you save even more. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Improving economic conditions and a pent-up demand for travel are moving Americans to spend more on summer travel in 2011 than they did in 2010. This is according to a survey by global travel assistance company Mondial Assistance USA and its Access America brand of travel insurance. Nearly one half of Americans say they're confident they'll take a summer vacation this year, up 12% from last year and up 29% from 2009. Daniel DeRazzo of Access America has more.
Not only are more Americans intending to go on vacation this summer, but those that are anticipate spending more this year. The average family intends to spend about $200 more this year than they did last year. Also, events of the last year, including tornadoes, dramatic weather, tsunamis, and civil unrest, have made it more likely that people will purchase travel insurance this year.
Among those who are confident they'll take a vacation this year, the majority said that high gas prices are their biggest concern. In all, the survey showed that Americans plan to spend $16 billion more this year on summer vacations than in 2010. I'm Patrick Davis.
If you drive a pre-owned GM vehicle and you've never pushed the blue OnStar button on your rearview mirror, now is the time to do it. Because right now, if you're not a current OnStar subscriber, you can try 3 months of OnStar free with no obligation. Push the blue button and tell the advisor you want automatic crash response, help in an emergency, navigation, and more. Offer available on 2006 and newer digitally equipped GM models. Push the button now or visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations. OnStar. Live on.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hey, Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to soupbeansurvival.com.
Soupbeansurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian? The number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at soupbeansurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
Never buy home canning jar lids again.
No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to restoreyourhealthnow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Doug Steffen here with a welcome back into the next half hour of Talk Radio in Review. Focus now is the battle in Washington over the budget. From CBS, Erica Hill, with Senator Rob Corker of Tennessee and Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois about the status of these discussions.
Senator Corker, I want to begin with you. There's been so much talk, the president saying yesterday, everybody leave your ultimatums at the door. So what would Republicans be willing to compromise on that has not yet been offered?
So I think we see this as a seminal moment where we have an opportunity to dramatically change the character of spending in our country. I've laid something out called the CAP Act. I know Senator Durbin's been working with some bipartisan group, but I think most of us see this as a tremendous opportunity for our country to really change the level of spending that we have and really reduce deficits in the future.
Why, if this is a tremendous opportunity, though, Senator, why has it taken so long? Why are we now facing this limit, which is an extended limit? And so many people would look at the 112th Congress and say, what have you all been doing? We've known about this for months. Why not take that opportunity months ago to prevent being here?
I couldn't agree more. I've offered something at the beginning of the year with Claire McCaskill from Missouri. We haven't had a budget in the Senate now for 798 days. Now, think about that. So we haven't even gone through the budget process. So, look, I couldn't agree more. It's the most dysfunctional place I've ever been in my life. And my hope is that over the next month or so, we can rectify that, move ahead, do some great things for our country while we have this wonderful opportunity to do so.
So in terms of this opportunity, Senator Durbin, I want to bring you in now. A member of the Gang of Six, you've been working on this for a long time. This meeting tomorrow with the president, what is going to be different this time? House Speaker John Boehner has said he questions the usefulness of the meeting.
Well, I think it's a good question. It's a valid question. And I've been involved in this for over a year and a half, for a whole year, on the president's deficit fiscal commission, where we had three Republican senators vote with us. So basically, we had a buy-in, bipartisan buy-in, to a way to reduce the deficit. Then the Gang of Six got started. Unfortunately, Senator Coburn, a Republican from Oklahoma, said that he couldn't be part of it. He walked away from it. But we tried to continue to engage other members, Democrats and Republicans. But we both have to sit down and be honest. Each side has to give. To say that there is no person so wealthy in America that they couldn't pay a penny more in taxes, and no special interest tax deal so good in America that it couldn't be examined and perhaps reduced is not a good starting point. Well, we've got to be honest, whether it's entitlements or taxes, let's be honest.
In terms of being honest, the president was very clear, saying both sides have to leave their ultimatums at the door. But he's not budging on this so-called mini deal, calling it unacceptable. Senator Durbin, does the president need to leave his ultimatum at the door to set that table for compromise?
I'll tell you what, if the president said that he would agree to a mini deal, the folks would come in and say, well, let's have a mini, mini, mini deal. And I can understand where he's starting. Let's do something that is significant. Let's follow the deficit commission, which was $4.5 trillion on a bipartisan basis with everything on the table. That is a sensible approach. Democrats and Republicans ought to buy in.
Radio host Joan Hamburg here with Frank Rich from The New Yorker magazine. They talk about what Frank Rich thinks the president needs to do about this crisis.
It's not that you're finding fault. You're saying that this president needs to find courage so that he can really rise to the occasion.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, this is someone who I'm have been quite enthusiastic about, and I think is someone who is a really decent, highly committed, and obviously brilliant guy, who has faltered in some important leadership things. And what concerns me, as someone who's fundamentally in sympathy with what he stands for, is that he really could lose the next election, in part because he has not stood up. We're seeing a little bit more spine since the press conference last week, but it's often been fitful, you know, and I think that there's nothing he can do about this very devastating unemployment rate between now and Election Day, or little he can do.
Can we blame him for that?
We can blame him in part. The truth is, the roots of that preceded his arrival in office. I mean, there was a catastrophe in the economy during the housing bubble, and he came in and inherited the wreckage. However, since he's gotten there, he's done some things to help, like a stimulus package, but we now know it wasn't big enough. And one of the points I make in my piece is he seems to have been distracted from the issue of jobs and from the issue of the people who really suffered from this meltdown. Their recovery is just not happening. It's happened for Wall Street, which caused the meltdown or played a big part in it, but not for ordinary Americans. And his focus has wavered a bit. There never was a big sort of New Deal jobs program. After the stimulus got through, he spent a year in health care, which, whatever its merits, still distracted him from a real jobs push. And now, for reasons I really don't understand, he's locked in discussions about short-term solutions to the deficit. You can't stop spending over the short term when there's a lack of demand and therefore a lack of employment. The deficit is a good long-term, an important long-term problem to worry about, but we've got a crisis for a lot of people, and he's kind of seemed to be trying to address it, and I hope he rises to the occasion. There's a lot of time between now and Election Day.
More talk radio reaction to the debt, the budget, and the debate over raising the debt ceiling up next on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Jason from Buffalo writes, I have a habit of hitting snooze and not being able to get up again. Any suggestions?
You know, if you get Geico to help with your renter's insurance, it's quite easy, really. You'll know you're protecting your stuff for as little as $12 a month, which I suspect will make you sleep much sounder. Then you'll just pop out of bed rested, ready to start your day.
What he's saying is, a renter's policy is basically insurance for your snooze button.
Plus most everything else you own.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Dr. Ken and Doug with a health question. Does your stomach feel like a war zone? Are you downing over-the-counter stomach aids and antacids like there's no tomorrow? And still, nothing relieves your pain, irritation, bloating, minor gas, and constipation?
Doug, as an MD, I see so many patients needlessly suffering from these symptoms. Relief can be as simple as balancing your digestive health. This is why my first recommendation is to simply add Natron's Healthy Trinity, a brilliant probiotic. Again, if you suffer with occasional stomach pain, irritation, bloating, minor gas, and constipation, let us prove to you how quickly a healthy probiotic regimen can turn things around.
Natron's Healthy Trinity, the pioneer of probiotics for 30 years, serious probiotics. Try the Good Day Healthy Trinity 90-Day Challenge. If you don't have a happy, healthier tummy in 90 days, Natron gives you your money back, no questions asked. Mention Good Day Health for a free second-day shipping and a free second bottle. Call 888-9-NATRON, N-A-T-R-E-N, 888-962-8736 or natron.com.
The Sears Automotive Center knows that when you get your car back from the shop, you don't want to feel like you've been taken for a ride. That's why the Sears Blue Automotive Crew offers Price Match Plus to get you the best price guaranteed. Come into Sears Auto Center July 8th and 9th and get a $19.99 oil change. No coupon necessary, no shop fees. And earn $20 in Shop Your Way rewards points to use on your next oil change. Plus, find hot buys on Cooper Response Touring Tires. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Protection against web-based threats like malware and phishing has become a serious challenge for companies with distributed workforces. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Web Security Flex combines physical and virtual gateways with cloud services to protect both on-site and remote users from a single portal. Stop web threats. Visit Barracuda.com/Flex to try Barracuda Web Security Flex free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/Flex.
If you need to raise funds for your charity organization, Macy's Shop for a Cause is the perfect opportunity. Qualifying groups receive special tickets to sell for $5 each, and you keep 100% of the ticket proceeds, so sell as many as you can. On Saturday, August 27th, ticket buyers receive exclusive savings in every Macy's store nationwide and on Macy's.com. To see if your group qualifies and to sign up, go to Macy's.com/Shop for a Cause.
Lori Morris doesn't go out without Bullfrog Mosquito Coast.
My son and I are mosquito magnets. And if I'm not wearing the Mosquito Coast sunscreen, I am immediately eaten alive. And so is he. I saw the Mosquito Coast covered both sun protection and insect repellent. We don't get sunburn when we use the Bullfrog, and we don't get bit.
Bullfrog Mosquito Coast. DEET-free 8-hour repellent, SPF 30. No wonder it's the number one burn and bite protection. Use as directed.
From Countdown affiliate WTMA in Charleston, South Carolina, host Richard Todd speaking with Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky about the budget proposal he has presented to Congress.
I wanted to, first of all, let you know what Senator Lindsey Graham said on this program and how this plays into the problems that you and others are facing in Washington in dealing with the spending habits, the budget, the deficit, and the debt, and obviously the debt ceiling that we're going to be hitting supposedly on August the 2nd. You put forth a budget proposal in the U.S. Senate, a budget proposal that I believe would have balanced the budget in 5 years. Very aggressive. I liked it. In fact, I liked it way better than the Congressman Paul Ryan plan. When you put that proposal out there, you got 7 votes. Now, I find it rather ironic, and if you want to comment on this, you can, that some of the votes came from your colleague, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who may have seen the light in Kentucky because he's up for re-election next year. And then you have Senator Orrin Hatch in Utah, who may have seen the light because Mike Lee, the Tea Party candidate, was voted into office out in Utah. And Senator Jim DeMint. But Senator Lindsey Graham did not vote for it. And we asked him about that specifically, and he said he would not vote for any budget that would cut defense spending by 40%. Does therein lie the rub?
Well, what I would say is that in order to balance the budget in a five-year period, it does take some cuts across the board. It's not 40% in defense. It's more like about 6%. But the thing is that over, if you pass the balanced budget amendment that 47 Republican senators have signed on to, it says in the body of the amendment that you have to balance the budget within 5 years. And that in itself really is a compromise that we're willing to wait 5 years. But it takes, you know, you have to cut things, and there's not enough money to cut out just the non-discretionary spending, you know, the money that's non-military and non-entitlement. That's like 10 or 12% of the budget. Unfortunately, most of the debate up here has been about that type of spending. And it's just not enough. You can eliminate all of it and you won't balance the budget. So you do have to look at entitlements and you do have to look at military spending. And I think national defense is the most important thing we do in our country. It's a constitutional function of the federal government. But at the same time, every dollar spent there is not wisely spent nor sacred. We have to do something. We have to look for waste in all departments of government.
It felt like Senator Graham was just sort of doing a little name-dropping with you and Mike Lee until we came back and said, well, then why didn't you vote for Senator Rand Paul's budget? And I noticed that when you talk about the debate going on now in Washington, You're talking about making sure there's something binding, that any agreement that is made between the Obama administration and Congress, that unless there's something binding, there's no guarantee that they won't just go back on the word that they make in any kind of budget compromise that's struck.
Well, and a good example of this is they're talking about, let's say they raise the debt ceiling $2 trillion, and they say, oh, well, we're going to cut spending $2 trillion. But they're saying they're going to cut it over 10 years. Really, though, they can't bind future Congresses. So there's no guarantee, even if they're sincere, there's no guarantee that future Congresses will agree with them. That's why what we're calling for is different and more potent. We're calling for a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. That actually would bind future Congresses.
Talk host Jack Harris and Ted Webb talking to Gretchen Hamel from BankruptingAmerica.org about the debate in Washington. The debt is the focus.
Gretchen, as Executive Director of Public Notice, what is your all's take on this?
Well, whether they decide to raise it or they decide not to raise it, one thing is for sure, they need to cut spending with whatever deal they decide to strike.
And if you were in charge, if they were to say, Gretchen Hamel, we want you to come to us with a proposal on cutting spending, on making big cuts necessary to do something to the deficit and to the debt, what would you give them? What kind of a plan would you give them?
I would say everybody gets a haircut. We're going to cut it by, you know, a few percent across the board, and everyone is going to have to decide what is most important to their organization and agency to pay for, and what some of the fat that they can trim.
Would you tinker with Medicare and Social Security, which are the two so-called hot wires here?
Well, I think if you look back at the trustee report, the independent organization, that the Medicare and Social Security trustee board, they came out with a report about a month ago, and they said that these programs will be insolvent in less than a decade. So, you know, if I'm looking at the long haul and I'm thinking, do I want access to these plans? Do I want to make sure the people who are on them now still have access to these dollars and these benefits? And I'm saying, sure, we need to do something in order to make sure these programs are still around.
If they don't extend the debt ceiling, which party is going to lose politically on this issue?
You know, I think right now everyone is just completely upset with Washington altogether. And I think this will show to folks across the world that the U.S. cannot even maintain or its own fiscal house, whether, you know, we pass it or not pass it or find ways to cut money from the budget. I think it's going to send a global message. So I think the whole world is watching right now. And despite who will get blamed inside the borders, we have to think about how we are going to be perceived outside our borders as well.
From Fox, Brett Baier and Britt Hume talk about the budget and the debt, see the impact that they're likely to have on President Obama's reelection.
Perspective now on how the debt issue and others figure into President Obama's political future. Senior political analyst Britt Hume joins us tonight. Good evening, Britt.
Hi, Brett. Republicans obsessing about their lack of a new political superstar to lead them against the vaunted Barack Obama next year seem not to have noticed something. This president is in as full a political retreat as this town has seen in many years. He was elected to fix the economy, but people think he and his party have failed and exploded the nation's debt in the process. His poll numbers are abysmal on both counts. Moreover, his political base is cranky about the war in Afghanistan, unhappy that he failed to end the Bush tax cuts, and worried now that he may be willing to cut spending significantly to win an increase in the debt ceiling. Mr. Obama knows he must stir his base to have any hope of reelection. But he knows also that if the independents who backed him in 2008 and deserted him and his party last fall don't come back, his base won't be enough. So even as he gave ground on spending and debt in the negotiations with congressional Republicans, he talked tough about taxing the rich in that White House news conference last week. By today, he was sounding conciliatory again and confident of a deal. And he said he's against kicking the issue down the road, but he's the same guy only weeks ago wanted the debt ceiling increase with no action on spending. He's like a man who took two dates to the prom and is trying to keep them both happy. He may not pull it off, but he's dancing as fast as he can.
spread.
What about all this talk about balance in the final deal today in that brief statement in front of the press briefing?
Well, Republicans would say, of course, it is balance. They're giving on the debt ceiling increase, and the president and his colleagues in Congress and the Democratic Party are giving on spending. But the president, I think, fears that if he gives too much on spending and doesn't get anything seemingly in the deal other than the debt ceiling increase, that he will be just infuriate his base. So he's looking for some sort of a fig leaf, some taxes that can go up and give him a chance to say he's got something more in return for what he's giving, which is a lot.
Up next, another gear change, this time focusing on the presidential race. Mitt Romney makes some headlines, but not the kind of headlines he wants to make.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Doug Steffen here. As we focus on the issues on talk television, left and right, that sort of thing, we go to MSNBC for Ed Schultz talking to Ed Pulaski, who's the mayor of Allentown, Pennsylvania. Mr. Pulaski is not very happy with some of the accusations Mitt Romney has been making about job growth in his town.
Mayor Pulaski, Governor Romney has a political ad of himself at this Allentown plant. But is there more to the recovery in Allentown that you'd like to tell us?
Sure. First off, we don't appreciate Mr. Romney using the closing of this plant as a political prop. There has been so many good things that have happened as a result of the intervention of President Obama and former Governor Rendell. We had tremendous job growth here in the state. Over 15,000 jobs have been created in Pennsylvania alone as a result of the Recovery Act, 44,000 within the last year. In Allentown, at this very site, right across the street, we had a new plant open up, 100,000 square feet industrial building that employs about 130 people. We had an old Mack truck facility, which is right behind this plant, that is now fully occupied with three new businesses, one that makes tactical water systems for the military, another one that's manufacturing steel, and another one that's actually doing form structures manufacturing. So there's a lot of manufacturing still going on here, and even in the general vicinity that Mr. Romney did his press conference. But what's really ironic is that the region as a whole is one of the fastest growing regions in the state of Pennsylvania. It has declined in his job loss. In fact, we're about 8.4% lower than the national average. And Matt Truck even, which has been a symbol of some of the recession's decline, actually added 125 jobs within the last year.
All right. So, Mayor Pulaski, what do you make of Mitt Romney standing in front of that plant, saying that that plant is shut down because of President Obama?
Well, I think it's wrong. I mean, I understand why he's flip-flopping. He's flip-flopping because he's wrong. And, if you just look at his statements, he has to backtrack because he was wrong on the facts. He's wrong about the facts in this particular plant. He's wrong about the facts, and he's painting the city of Allentown and the entire region. He's wrong on the facts there. He's wrong on the facts in Pennsylvania. He's wrong on the facts about this country. You've said it yourself many times. We've added jobs. Over 238,000 manufacturing jobs have been added since 2009 in this country. I don't know where Mitt Romney is getting his statistics, but he better start getting his facts straight. If he really wanted to help this company, maybe part of his platform should be that he should stop the shipping of foreign steel into this country, and that would help smaller metal manufacturing companies like Allentown Metalworks. But I don't see that as part of his platform either, do you?
Well, I don't, and I was going to ask you as a mayor, have you heard anything from Mitt Romney give you any kind of confidence that he would bring forward any kind of economic policy that, say, Allentown, Pennsylvania could look forward to? What have you heard from him?
No, I haven't heard anything about his economic policy. Have you? I mean, he hasn't really put forth what his policy would be. You know, when you're in a glass house, you probably shouldn't be throwing stones. I mean, he ranked 47 out of 50 states under Mitt Romney's leadership. That was Massachusetts. 47 out of 50 in job growth. The only ones that were further behind him were Michigan, Ohio, and Louisiana, two Rust Belt states, and one that was hit by a hurricane.
Talk host Pat Campbell here with Ernest Ishtook from the Heritage Foundation about the Democrats' claim that the debt ceiling is unconstitutional.
We want to talk about that this morning. Yeah, that's a good story.
Yeah, it is, and it's been under the radar. Most people have been totally unaware of it.
Tell everybody what's going on here.
For a couple of months. Well, the left is desperate and devious to protect spending, giant spending. So they're laying the groundwork for President Obama to ignore the $14.3 trillion statutory ceiling on the federal debt and to instruct the Treasury, go ahead, borrow whatever you need to satisfy all of his spending plans. Now, that would add a constitutional crisis to our economic crisis without fixing the economic problems, right? So the whole thing, to ignore this debt ceiling, which has been the focus of all the conversations in Washington, this is based upon a dangerous misreading of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. They're using deceptive rhetoric to depict big spenders as protectors of the Constitution, claiming that unlimited spending is the constitutional remedy to protect the economy from either defaulting on the debt or having to reduce spending. And, of course, it would save us from the evil Republicans who won't go along with the tax hikes. All this, people say, what? All this conversation we've been having, they say there's a debt ceiling, we can't borrow any more money, therefore we've got to do something about it. And now they're saying, never mind, debt ceiling doesn't count. Well, you know how President Obama always says his positions are evolving, so he can always reverse course.
Talk to me about these secret talks, because this was supposed to be the administration that was, had transparency. Everything was out there for us to see. What's going on here with the secret talks?
Well, it would be nice to know. The only thing that they have tried to leak out is say, we've agreed on $1 trillion worth of spending cuts. Now, that's supposed to placate you and make you think that things are on the right track. Well, they've already agreed on $1 trillion of spending cuts, but they won't tell us what they are, which indicates to me that they're using gimmicks.
Find out more about all of these items. You'll find them listed 1, 2, 3 in the Talk Radio Countdown section, just above the Good Day portion of DougStephan.com.